90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. Coming up next, Queer Voices.
First you listen, then you fall in love. You have your favorite programs that you listen to each and every week. And finally, you do the right thing by calling in that pledge of support to KPFT. You feel great, but guess what? Your job, it's not done just yet. You still need to fulfill your promise to KPFT by sending that pledge payment today. And when you do, you take that often forgotten last step. Don't wait any longer. KPFT depends on you.
Life's not worth a damn till you can say I am what I am.
I am what I am.
I am what I am.
I am what I am. Soy lo que soy.
I am what I am.
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 We are what we are. Listen to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, every late, late Saturday nights, 1 a.m. to Sunday, 4 a.m., only on KPFT Houston.
Ooh, I am what I am.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. Now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Falinski.
And I'm Joan Devlin.
And J.D. Doyle.
And tonight, we have a lot of things going on. We will be talking to Randall Ellis very shortly about the Democrats leaving town in Austin.
No, that's pretty interesting.
Yes.
I bet Ray Hill knows where they are.
I'm sure he does. And they're hiding out because of the redistricting that may have to go on because of the Republicans trying to take over more control of the redistricting, the congressional districts in Texas. Also with us will be Nancy Ford and Todd Cunningham via phone. And I believe he's in Dallas, I think. And they're going to be talking about they're doing one film per week in Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth, and Austin, documentaries on gay people like Harvey Milk.
And Lance Loud is one, isn't he?
Right, and a bunch of other people. And
awesome.
Yes, it's free. And it's going to be happening on Thursday night. So I believe it's starting this Thursday. So we'll be talking to them. And then we also have, we're going to be talking about the expanded services at Body Positive Wellness Center, which is part of the Montrose Clinic.
And also we'll be talking to Dina Gray, who's going to give us some information on Rider 53, which is a rider added to the Health and Human Services budget that separates Harris and the 10 surrounding counties out from the rest of East Texas. And Dina and some other members of her organization have a few concerns about Rider 53 and the way it was done.
Okay, I don't think Randall's is with us yet. No, okay, well, we'll go first to News Wrap and try to get Randall on right after News Wrap.
I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending May 10th, 2003. In Spain, the Basque Parliament this week approved a bill to extend all marital rights to unmarried couples, including gay and lesbian couples. The Basque country becomes the fourth region in Spain to legally recognize unmarried partners, following Andalusia, Catalonia, and Navarra. Agence France-Presse reported that the Basque measure will allow same-gender couples to adopt children.
Gay and lesbian couples would also be able to adopt children in the Australian Capital Territory under legislation the territory's Australian Labor Party government introduced in the ACT Parliament this week. Chief Minister John Stanhope called the current law's explicit restriction of adoption to heterosexual couples discriminatory. The bill would also allow gay and lesbian co-parents to co-adopt their partner's children.
West Australia is the only Australian state so far to open adoptions to same-gender couples, although an adoption bill introduced by Tasmania's ALP state government is currently under consideration in Parliament there. The Tasmanian bill has proved highly controversial. Tasmanian gay and lesbian rights group noted that two candidates for before the state's upper house, who specifically campaigned against the bill, fared poorly in this week's elections.
The Australian Labor Party government of the state of New South Wales this week introduced a bill to reduce the age of consent for sex between men to match that for heterosexual and lesbian acts. Currently in NSW, two males must be at least 18 years old to have legally consensual sex, while the age for all others is 16. In Australia, only NSW and the Northern Territory still have higher ages of consent for sex between men, although Queensland has a higher age of consent for anal intercourse regardless of gender. NSW's last attempt at equalization, a private member's bill, failed by a one-vote margin in the state's upper house in 1999. Equalization is no sure thing this time either. The ruling ALP and the opposition Liberals will be free to vote their consciences, while the state's smaller National Party has already vowed to stand as a bloc against it. Christian Democratic upper house member Gordon Moyes would prefer to achieve equalization by raising the age of consent for other acts to 18.
Britain's Labour government this week introduced its bill to prohibit employment discrimination and workplace harassment against gays and lesbians. It's the latest move to bring British law into compliance with European law. The government claims that despite initial costs to employers, business will experience substantial continuing benefits as a result of hiring the best available candidates. Despite intense lobbying by gay and lesbian activists, religious groups will be exempted from offering equal employment opportunity to gays and lesbians and will be free to fire employees who fail to conform to their group's religious ethos. The same bill will also extend employment discrimination protections to Muslims.
Back on the family front, a member of Namibia's National Council this week dared to propose the addition of gay and lesbian couples to a bill to combat domestic violence. Namibia's ruling SWAPO party has been vocally homophobic in recent years, and some of its members tried to shout down Councillor Fukunani Dudu Mururoa of the opposition DTA-UDF coalition as he offered his amendment. Mururoa said, "Whether we like it or not, many Namibians of the same sex are involved in romantic relationships with each other, and there are acts of violence among these couples as well." SWAPO counselor Noah Tuha Delaney declared, "Any life or love without the opposite sex is immoral or dead."
There was outright violence this week in the parliament building of the former Soviet Republic of Georgia, where the deputy speaker was beaten by some opposition members after he refused to apologize for publicly describing their faction's politicians as having a non-traditional sexual orientation. Deputy Speaker and Socialist Party leader Vakhtang Rishalvili received head injuries, while one of his United Democrats attackers emerged with an injured hand. Both required hospital treatment. The Prosecutor General's office is investigating the incident, some of which was videotaped.
The outing of the chief minister of the Pakistani state of Sindh is expected to end his political career, although the news was blacked out within the state. Ali Mohammed Maher was described as a homosexual and occasional cross-dresser in an expose published in Pakistan's Friday Times at the end of April. The U.S.-based South Asia Tribune attributed the outing to a power struggle between two leaders of Pakistan's spy agency, Inter-Services Intelligence. Islamic law holds sway in Pakistan, although its prescription of the death penalty for homosexuality is not known to have been enforced there.
But open gays continue to win elected office in the United States. In local elections this week, three of four candidates supported by the Political Action Committee Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund were winners. Two of those were incumbents re-elected to the Dallas, Texas City Council, John Loza and Ed Oakley, while three other openly gay candidates failed in three other Dallas districts.
The other Victory Fund winner was Paul Smedberg, who beat out a dozen others for a city council seat to become the first ever openly gay elected official in Alexandria and only the second in the state of Virginia.
The Victory Fund loser was Paul Rosenthal, who came in second in a three-way race for a seat on the Denver, Colorado City Council, which has never had an openly gay or lesbian member.
In another recent election, Craig Lowe became the first open gay or lesbian to win a seat on the Gainesville, Florida City Commission.
And an Italian court recently made an open gay the mayor of the Sicilian town of Gela. Rosario Crocetta appeared to have lost an election held a year ago, but his legal challenge of the vote prevailed in a March ruling.
Imagining sex between clones of former Soviet leaders Joseph Stalin and Nikita Khrushchev will not lead to a prison term for one of Russia's most admired postmodern novelists. Vladimir Sorokin's troubles began last June when a morality group associated with President Vladimir Putin called Moving Together or Walking Together brought criminal pornography charges against his satirical 1999 novel Golubovoy Salo. That translates as sky blue bacon fat or light blue lard, light blue also being a Russian slang term for gay. Moscow prosecutors thought the criminal charge was well-founded and pursued an investigation despite criticism from the Russian government. Police raided the publisher, Ad Marginem, and seized copies of the book and documents relating to it. Sorokin refused to answer when questioned by police and filed a lawsuit against the Moving Together group. The international literary community rose up in alarm at the prospect of renewed censorship in Russia, and in solidarity, the Committee for Russia's Booker Prize nominated a later Sorokin work they actually didn't like much. But finally, in late April, Moscow prosecutors announced they were dropping the charges, having decided that no crime had been committed, based on three analyses by what they called literary and sexological experts, most of whom did not find the work pornographic. As so often happens in these cases, the attack on the book served to boost its sales as much as eightfold, as well as those of Sorokin's more recent work.
And finally, more than 15,000 people turned out this week for the 8th annual Belgian Gay Pride Festival in Brussels. Despite winning full equal marriage rights and anti-discrimination protections this year, the official Belgian Pride slogan was, "We want more." Politically, that would mean being able to marry a foreigner from a country that doesn't recognize same-gender partnerships and being able to adopt children. But in parts of Belgium, just being out remains an issue. One woman at the Pride Fest was costumed as a police officer. That's not so unusual in itself, but she explained to a reporter that she really is a police officer, one who could never let her lesbian orientation be known in the little village where she works.
That's News Wrap for the week ending May 10th, 2003. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
I like a man. That was the Trisha Yearwood song, What I Like About You, but that sure wasn't Trisha Yearwood. That was Mark Weigel keeping the pronouns intact from his new album, Different and the Same.
So you're going to New York?
I'm going to New York on the 23rd for the Out Music Awards.
That sounds real exciting.
It will be neat, neat, neat.
Yes. So are you planning to do some interviewing up there too?
Yes. I'm going to meet with Romanowski and Phillips, who I've already interviewed, but I'm going to get together with them socially a little bit. They're going to be, the interview is going to be on my next show in 2 weeks.
Are they going to perform in New York?
No.
No.
They're not going to. Paul has had laryngitis for 2-3 months.
Oh, wow.
So they've chosen not, they don't want to sing and not come off good. And I understand
right.
that.
Right, right.
But they will be accepting the Out Music Heritage Award.
They should, definitely.
Yes,
very deserving. I don't know if people remember, but the first time Romanowski and Phillips was heard on the airwaves of KPFT was when Mike Meesch had a cassette of some of their early stuff, and it was just incredible.
That would have been like 83.
Something like mm-hmm. that. It was very
early. That's
when
early. It came out.
And it was just really good. Even though the cassette quality wasn't that good, mm-hmm. the content was fabulous. And we have been playing them, you know,
since,
over the many, many years.
Well, they were so topical, and everything
and
is still applies.
Right. Very much ahead of their time. So let's go to another segment from This Way Out.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd.
Baseball legend Ted Williams was fond of saying that hitting a ball with a bat is the hardest thing to do in any sport. Judging from the latest controversy involving anti-gay comments in baseball by Colorado Rockies relief pitcher Todd Jones, coming out of the closet as a pro ball player might be even harder. Even though the U.S. national pastime was once a leader in racial integration, over 50 years later, there's still no openly gay player in the major leagues. One player who's come out of retirement to play in the outfield is Billy Bean, and now he's the author with Chris Bull of Going the Other Way, Lessons from a Life in and Out of Major League Baseball. This Way Out's Steve Pride tossed some verbal pitches to a game Billy Bean.
Billy Bean is all-American handsome. With a winning smile and earnest demeanor, he evokes apple pie and the 4th of July. When he speaks, he looks you directly in the eyes. A former professional baseball player, Bean's sunny openness was for years at odds with his closely held secrets.
My name is Billy Bean. I was a Major League Baseball player from 1986 to 1995. I started with the Detroit Tigers. I played for the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Diego Padres. And I am gay. I met my ex-wife in college, and I got married immediately into my professional career. I signed as a 22-year-old, but it wasn't until I was about 26 or 27 that I started to really get the feelings that started to surface about my sexuality. And about 3 years into my marriage, I started to explore that when I was traveling around on the road. And that's when the secrecy really started. I think I carried in my body for a long time that secret, but I had never acted out on it. I never had a mutual sexual encounter or relationship with anybody from the same sex. So in my mind, I was a straight man. Finally, I couldn't do it any longer. And after 3 years of marriage, I was in the off season of 1992, and I was living on the East Coast in Rockville, Maryland. And I met Sam, who would become my first partner. I fell in love, and I knew from really after the first time we were together that my marriage was not going to work out. And that was the beginning of a long process of separation and divorce. From that point on, really from the December of 92, I began living with a man and playing in the big leagues at the same time. And that was really the hardest obstacle to get through, to try to perpetuate with no friends. My parents, nobody knew. My ex-wife didn't know. Not only was it difficult, but I really began to beat myself up emotionally, because anytime you can't live the truth, it starts to wear on you that you're doing something wrong. And I don't believe that being a gay man is anything wrong. I think that's my biology. And all I was trying to do was find a sense of happiness away from the field.
But the secrecy eventually wore Billy down, and it began to affect the game.
When I first found my partner, Sam, ironically, I had tremendous success. And I think a lot of the pressure that I had inflicted upon myself because I wasn't truly content or happy. He had to relieve that pressure. But after that newness wore off, the daily grind of coming home and, you know, him staying in the house and telling my friends I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that, and them wondering why. Basically, it turned me kind of into a loner on the team, which is an uncomfortable situation to be in.
And it was a situation that left Billy Beane without anyone to turn to in a time of adversity.
In 1995, 2 days before the season was going to start, I felt like I had the whole world. You know, I was really coming into my own. I was really in love, and I had a really supportive partner. We were living a secret life, but we were starting to get the routine down, and he understood it. But I came home, and he was semi-unconscious on the bed, and I rushed him to the emergency room, and basically his pancreas gave up on him, and the toxins of the pancreas poisoned him from the inside out, and it took about 5 hours, and he died right in front of me. I just was not prepared for that kind of thing to happen for me. He was my world outside of my baseball, and I had not shared our relationship with anybody, so when he was gone, a whole part of me was gone, and he died about 7 a.m. in the morning, and I had a 1 o'clock game in Anaheim. And I didn't know what to do. I was completely confused. I couldn't call my parents.
That afternoon, Billy Beane did what Billy Beane had always done. He kept his secret, and he played baseball.
I just think I lost a lot of myself that day, and I regret that choice more than just about anything in my life. The idea that my relationship didn't matter enough to even take a day off from work, a stupid game, you know, and I think I trained myself to think like that, and that was because I was closed off from the world. Coming out doesn't mean you have to have a press conference in front of the world. You can come out to your mom. You know, you can have one person who's there for you, or your brother. I could have used anybody at that time in my life, and I don't know how I did it or why I did it. It doesn't make sense now. It seems so silly, but I wanted to be a ball player. I was living my professional dream, but then I learned that without a sense of self and there's an emotional hole in your heart, I hated my career. I could care less. And it taught me that love really is the greatest gift and the most important thing that you can ever find, and you should respect it and cherish it.
Last July, Billy Beane appeared as himself in an episode of the HBO sports comedy, Arliss.
So tell me, what position does this guy play? Outfielder?
Billy, this is serious.
Tell me about it.
No, you tell me about it. I've been there.
Yeah. And I hate to say it, But I don't think he can come out. This guy's life will be under a microscope tomorrow. And no matter how much progress we think this country's had, there's a lot of people out there who are going to want him to fail.
Don't you think there's a chance America might embrace him?
Not as long as fathers are taking their sons to the ballpark. They don't want to hear, "Daddy, I want to grow up and be just like him."
This isn't what I was hoping to hear.
The Arliss appearance created an uproar in the gay community.
You know, you can't please everybody. Arliss was the hero, and they used me as the only open player for advice. And the advice was to protect his career, should he or shouldn't he. If they would have asked the question, if this man wants to help change the world, will you stand behind him if he comes out tomorrow? And the answer would have been emphatically, yes, yes, yes. But you know, from a common sense perspective, if each individual gay or lesbian person in this country or around the world had an opportunity and was living their lifelong dream professionally, I think the rest of the gay community should be supportive in that person's choice. And I think we should demand change without putting the pressure or the onus on a player, because there's so much at stake and every life matters. Everyone's journey is the same importance. So let's make the players who are in the closet, let's start to make them know that we're fighting for them, even though we don't know who they are. And then as we create a safer atmosphere, we're going to have those players come forward.
After years of living in the closet, Billy Beane came out publicly in 1999. Now he is sharing his entire life story in a new book called Going the Other Way, Lessons from Life in and Out of Major League Baseball.
The book has been for me such a therapeutic experience after holding all this in for so long. It really started as a letter to my mom and dad, because I always wanted them to know everything, but it was always so uncomfortable to talk about like the real stuff. And for me, I feel like it's a responsibility that has been created. And I feel like however long this time is, my goal is really to just try to make baseball a better place. The idea that I believe so strongly is that sports breaks down barriers. You know, when five guys walk on a basketball court against five other guys, it doesn't matter what your color is, what your religion is, how much money you make, and it shouldn't matter if you're gay or not.
Although Billy Beane has retired from baseball, he continues to hit home runs. His book, written with Chris Bull, is called Going the Other Way, Lessons from a Life in and Out of Major League Baseball. For more information, point your internet browser to billybeane.com. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
A great slugger we haven't got. A great pitcher we haven't got. A great ball club we haven't got. What do we got?
The idea.
We've got heart. We've got heart. We've got heart.
This is Queer Voices.
Yes, it's horrifying.
We have us tonight. That's why I don't write for the newspaper. We have Nancy Ford. And on the line with us, we have Todd Cunningham, who are with the Texas Triangle. And they are doing something very special this year. Well, it's not really special because you always do Pride stuff. We're doing something a little bit different this year besides the stuff they usually do for Pride. And it is a bunch of films.
Yeah.
And it sounds really exciting. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Okay, I'll go first, then Todd, you next. How's that? Todd's in Dallas, so he's doing a whole remote.
I'm just wondering if Todd's hiding out with all the Democrats from Austin.
Is that where we all go?
Yeah, well... Go ahead, Nancy.
Great. Well, we're presenting, in collaboration with the Pride Committee this year, Profiles in Pride, and it's a film series. We're going to be running 6 weeks, starting a week from this coming Thursday. At 7:30 every week for 6 weeks right into Pride, we're going to be showing a film, one per night, about a pioneer within the gay and lesbian community without we would not be here today. It's not only happening in Houston, you guys.
This is really neat.
All over the state, all at the same time, yeah.
All right. Can we ever do anything on the same time in the States? Okay. Well, let's talk about, it's free, right?
It's absolutely free. This is a community event, historically geared so that we kind of remember our past as we celebrate our future.
Well, I guess, Todd, you came up with this crazy idea, so why don't you tell us a little bit about the films in order?
Yes, he's our publisher. He comes up with all the crazy ideas of the Texas Triangle.
And you've got to do them all, right?
Yeah. For some reason, they always end up being more work than I expect them to be. But this has turned out great, and we have a lot of people to thank for that, especially the volunteers in each of our cities, because trying to pull something like this off in four different cities at the same time on the same night would just pretty much be impossible. But we've had some great people there in Houston with the Pride Committee, and in Austin with the Austin Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, in Dallas with Outtakes Film Festival, and Q Cinema in Fort Worth, which is their gay and lesbian film festival. So all these people have come together. We've been working on this for several months now, and the way the idea came about was several months ago, or right at the end of last year, I was watching public television and saw the Lance Loud story, Death in an American Family. And I sat there, and once the film was over, I was so moved that I thought everybody in the world, especially in the gay and lesbian community, should see this film.
Wasn't that a great thing? I mean, and we're always worried here in Houston whether Channel 8 will be playing the stuff the network mm-hmm. plays, because they don't always do that.
Right.
And they played it on the same night at the same time. And this was a story that reflected back to like 1974 or 3 or something like that. It was a story about an American family. It was mm-hmm. called The Loud Family,
yeah.
Yes. And in one of the episodes, Lance came out way ahead of anything else on any other television station. And they not only played a documentary on Lance, you know, his last days and him passing away, but they replayed that segment on public television.
Yeah, well, and that was one of the reasons I was so moved. It was like watching the life story of pretty much everybody I came out with mm-hmm. as far as, you come out and you're just a scream queen, and you bust the closet doors open just as wide as you can, and you're throwing on your makeup and your jewelry, and you're heading out to the bar.
That doesn't sound anything like my coming out experience.
Well, I'm talking about the Nelly Gay Men that I came out with.
Yes,
and
sir.
We all did that and went through that whole progression, and a lot of us, unfortunately, our progression followed the same path that Lance's did, and those people are no longer here today. But that's one of the reasons I think that it was so moving. But I learned so much in watching that I didn't know. I didn't know that Lance Loud was the first person to ever come out on television. I mean, it's just an amazing story. He's a really neat guy, and there was even a Texas connection. At the time of his death, his father lived in Houston.
Yes.
And so that even caused me even more to want to do this, because I was like, well, there's a Texas connection, and I know we'll find a lot of them when we start pulling this together. So we sat down and we came up with 6 films, and we wanted to do 3 men and 3 women and alternate them, have a female documentary and a male documentary. And what we're doing at the Triangle is we're going to write and feature these individuals each week in the paper and try to tell as much in depth as we can about them, at least enough to whet the appetites of the audience and get them to know more about these people that we, quite honestly, I don't know as much about them as I should. And I'm sure that we're kind of all that way. And that's been another interesting part of this process, is that we started talking about people that I certainly didn't know enough about. And the first one we're featuring this week is Ruth Ellis. And she's an incredible person with an incredible story. And Nancy may want to talk more about her in a minute, but we will be featuring Ruth on the cover this week, and then the documentary about her will show the following Thursday on May the 22nd. After that, we're featuring Harvey Milk, and then we'll be showing The Times of Harvey Milk. The following week, we're doing Ellen DeGeneres, and then we'll be showing the real Ellen story. The following week after that is Lance Loud, and we'll talk about Lance, and then we'll show A Death in an American Family. Following that is something really exciting, and I have to be really honest and say that I had never heard of Del Martin and Phyllis Lyon, but they are kind of known as the mothers of the modern lesbian movement.
Right.
And there was just a documentary made about them. It debuted in San Francisco about 2 months ago, and we will be premiering it in Texas.
Wow.
And yeah, the timing is extraordinary. It's great.
We got very, very lucky with this one, and so it's the first time it will have been shown in Texas, and one of the first, it's only like the second or third time it's been shown anywhere at all, and it will be shown on June the 19th in 4 cities across Texas. So that's a really exciting film. And then the last film we'll be doing is The Life of Harry Hay, known as Hope, and the name of that documentary is Hope Along the Wind. And Harry, who died just last year, is kind of known as one of the fathers of the gay movement. So Nancy, you can expand more on those, or I may have taken up all our time.
No.
And now back to our sponsor.
the Harvey Milk film is absolutely fabulous, too. It won an Academy Award.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, documentary. I mean,
Not a dry eye in the house,
right,
on that one, promise you.
Absolutely. That's a fabulous one. And I'm not overly familiar with some of the other ones, but I'm sure they're all going to be just great. You want to expand on any of these, Nancy?
Yeah, thanks, Jack. I'm really excited about this. I got to screen Ruth Ellis at 100. Earlier last week, which is, as Todd said, the film we're going to be kicking off with. And what an extraordinary woman. The film has won so many prizes for best documentary in so many of the gay and lesbian film festivals. And it's the story of Ruth Ellis, the oldest, as far as we know, living out lesbian. She's no longer living now, but she lived till she was about 101, I believe. And this woman's story is just extraordinary. She was out when people were afraid to, you know, even speak the word gay, and certainly not lesbian. She and her partner lived in Detroit and had basically, they bought a home, and their home became a community center.
Wow.
For the community. It's just a remarkable, remarkable, inspirational film, and I really hope everybody comes. I talked to some of the people from Hatch also last week to extend a special invitation to the kids at Hatch, because this is so important. One of the messages in the Ruth Ellis film was how it's so important for generations to reach to each other, not only the older to the younger generation, but vice versa, because how else are we going to learn from each other. So, yeah, this is going to be excellent. And, of course, Harvey Milk, sensational film. Ellen DeGeneres,
Well, and
she's
I'm
a lesbian.
Yes, but I'm not familiar about this particular film. Tell us a little bit about it.
The Ellen film?
Yes.
That one? I have not seen that one yet myself either, but as I understand, it's kind of a behind-the-scenes, more really what was going on as she went through the process of coming out and coming to terms with it with ABC and with the nation, with the world, and all the incredible publicity, good and bad, that she got. So this is kind of a little behind-the-scenes look at that for big Ellen fans. It'll be a must-see, absolutely. And free. What's better than that?
Absolutely. Well, and these are definitely an educational experience. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen them, or you haven't seen them in a setting with other people, to really learn about some of the history of what's going on. And this is really great that the Triangle is bringing this to all the cities and major cities in Houston. In Texas.
So will each city get to see all six films?
Each city, all six films.
Excellent.
It'll all be happening all at the same time.
Great.
Excellent.
One film per Thursday.
Right.
At 7:30, that is to say. Got a lot of watching.
Definitely. And it'll be happening like basically through Pride season.
Yes, exactly.
Well, this is really great. And, you know, I do have to compliment the Triangle on, you know, as one of my friends always says about some of these GLBT publications, where they've always put the straight people on the cover, you know. But the Triangle really does take chances in putting important figures on the cover and doing some very important stories aren't always the celebrity-type stories.
Thank you. We're real proud of it.
Great. So if you're listening online, other than, you know, the Houston people, you can check out txtriangle.com to find out where these films are playing in other cities. In Houston, it's going to be playing at the Theater New West, which is at 1415 California.
That's a fun place.
Yes, it is. Well, that's the same address of where the Pride Committee's office is.
So you can just pop right over.
Right. And also the fact that Theater New West is also a great space because it's, you know, resident theater, GLBT theater here in Houston, and Joe Watts does do some great stuff there. In fact, we're going to be talking a little bit about The Jerker next week, because that's starting rather soon. So anything else we need to talk about on the films?
I think that will do it. It wouldn't surprise me if I came back here to kind of update you maybe halfway through the run or so, let you know
it
how it's going.
Great.
But please, everyone come out every Thursday, 7:30, to see a new film about our gay pioneers at Theater New West.
And the other neat thing is that there are these film festivals in these other cities, and they're helping put this on, and they do some great work in putting films on, just like the Houston Film Festival does.
Absolutely. And also, we want to thank the Pride Committee again for helping sponsor this with us. We're thrilled to be linking up with you for this.
Great. We're talking to Todd Cunningham, who is publisher of the Texas Triangle, and Nancy Ford, who pretty much washes windows and does everything else, right?
What would you like in your coffee?
You're listening to Queer Voices.
My doctor said my T-cells were getting kind of low. She said, now boy, we gotta try to make those babies grow. She looked inside a big book of pharmacology and wrote not one prescription. She gave me 63 ACT, and then you got DBC. Oh, don't forget D4T, 3TC, vitamin C for your HIV girl. I ran on down to Walgreens to pick up all my pills. My viral load is tiny compared to all these bills. Reach up these new potions, I pay a hefty fee. This life prolonging therapy will be the death of me. ACT, and then you got DDC. Well, don't forget D4T, 3TC, vitamin C for your HIV girl. Tonavir, Elfenavir, Sequinavir, Cyclovir, Nidavir, Norovir. Let's give the shirt for Shizavir. Come again, Proteus. ACT, and then you got DDC. Well, don't forget D4T, 3TC, vitamin C for your HIV girl. To start the day's routine, pills in pretty colors, white, red, yellow, green. At noon it's time for six more, at dinner I take eight, which leaves from 9 to 9:01 to pee or masturbate. ACT, and then you got DDC. What
get D4T3TC. Vitamin C for your HIV girl.
From Mark Weigel's new album, Different and the Same. And by the way, as an added inducement to pick up this particular CD, there's a image on the back of him naked. This is Queer Voices.
And what is the name of the album, Glenn?
It's Different and the Same.
Different and the Same.
Same of the album.
And I'm sure you can find it online, or you actually can go to queermusicheritage.com and check out what JD says about these albums, because JD has a very good website for queer music, probably the best website for queer music. You're listening to Queer Voices, and with us in the studio is Sean Cashman, who is going to talk about some of the expanded services at the Body Positive Wellness Center, which is part of the Montrose Clinic. So what's happening over there?
Well, Jack, we're happy to say that what we're trying to do now is HIV positive or that do not qualify under the Ryan White grant. So as people know, Montrose Clinic, the Body Positive Wellness Center, we, at this stage, run services for people with HIV and that are Ryan White eligible. And now the direction that we're trying to take is we're trying to expand our services and get amongst the community and pretty much offer a wide range of exercise and nutrition services to the general public.
Okay. Well, let's explain exactly what the Body Positive Wellness Center does do so that people who are not familiar with it may know a little more about it.
Okay. Well, the Body Positive Wellness Center runs a 12-week program that manages people with HIV and that are Ryan White eligible through nutrition, exercise, and physical therapy. It's a fantastic program, and people come to us and we see some great results. Now, pretty much what we're trying to do is get people back and restore some functional capacity and just educate them about a healthy lifestyle, including diet, exercise, nutrition, those sorts of things.
Okay. So is it that people who are usually recently diagnosed, or is it people who after a while sort of get a little bit sort of down on themselves, I guess, because they're get overly concerned about being HIV positive?
Yes, we're seeing both. We're seeing newly diagnosed clients and clients that have been diagnosed for, you know, up to 15 years.
Wow.
So it is a wide range.
That's good.
It's great. You know, with science these days, we've got a better understanding of the human body, and we're seeing that exercise and nutrition are part of a maintaining a healthy lifestyle, so to speak. So people are more ready and keen to start an exercise program and to be more concerned about their diet and to start to make some changes.
So you have an exercise facility there, and is this then just to be used through the program, or then could people come back and use it on their own?
Well, people that enter the Body Positive program, once they finish the 12 weeks, they're eligible for a graduate status. Now, that means that once you finish, you can basically come and go as you please. For a small membership fee, you can come back to the facility, continue to use the gym, continue to get nutrition services, you know, for as long as you want.
Okay. And when you talk about nutrition services, what does that exactly mean? Does somebody actually sit down and look at you, what you're doing now and what you should be doing? And does it depend on the state you're in?
Yes, it depends on both. Basically, what happens is a registered dietitian will sit you down, talk to you. Basically, get an idea of what you're currently doing with your diet. Look at any modifications that can be made. Assist in helping you with meal plans, informing you on educated choices, how to change your diet, and just looking at the key points which may enhance your quality of life. So it can be simple as just increasing your meals, changing from 3 meals a day to trying to increase it, maybe to 4 or 5.
Well, I find this interesting because I think most Americans probably eat very badly, first off.
Yes.
Second of all, all of our choices, like going to the franchise places, even now that they're offering like salads, are not necessarily good for you because of the way they're packaged and the salad dressings and stuff. And not that I'm an expert on all of this. And KPFT has a really good vegan program that's on, I think, like every other Monday or something like that. But it's like it's a real challenge to try to eat good.
It is, and it can be really hard. But we're talking about your health here. It's not something little. It's not something small. It's your body. You only get one chance. You only get one body. So, if you're serious about it, small modifications, that doesn't have to be too much. It's not going to be a total lifestyle change. We're looking at just making some small modifications to just get you on your way.
Okay. So you're saying small modifications. Does that mean, well, some of us are trapped. I mean, you go to work, it's like, what choices do you have? Talking about like, doing your own food, preparing, planning and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. I think a meal plan is definitely the way to go. Just being able to plan your meals throughout the day, wake up, have a breakfast, have a packed lunch. So, generally, people tend to eat fast food when they're short on time. Okay, so if you're short on time, you're just going to duck to McDonald's, you're going to duck to KFC. But if you wake up 10 minutes earlier in the morning and you can make a sandwich and you can pack that for lunch, and you've got a healthy choice for lunch. So it's just a matter of managing your time a little bit more efficiently and getting up maybe a little bit earlier just to pack your lunch for the day.
I found a good side benefit of that as well is you tend to save a lot of money.
Definitely.
You think you're spending a couple bucks here, a couple bucks there, but it really adds up after a while. So you're doing something good for your wallet and for your health.
For sure. Yeah, eating out can be expensive. And, fruit is not very expensive. Eating healthy doesn't have to be expensive. You don't have to go out and buy a whole lot of whole food products, from these expensive places. You can buy, healthy food at a reasonable price.
Do you, does a program include giving some pointers on where you can, it's amazing. I still walk through some of our supermarkets here in Houston, and it's just amazing how big these supermarkets are and how many choices we do have about, incredibly fresh food, incredibly, but a lot of us just still go for frozen stuff because it's simple and easier.
That's
and the
right.
Microwave oven is, considered like, and it still is a good, it's still a good option to be able to have a microwave oven because it can help you prepare fresh food faster.
Sure.
Besides just popping in TV dinner type things.
That's right. Well, at Body Positive Wellness Center, the dietitians will help you read and learn how to understand food labels. So once you can understand a food label, you can go a long way into making healthy food decisions. A lot of people just pick up food from the shelf. It may say low in fat. Now, that fat content may be a lot higher than another product, but it says low in fat, so people will take that choice. So if you learn to read food labels and learn to identify the ingredients in products, you can make a healthier choice into what you're eating.
Well, getting back to going to the gym, I mean, there's probably a lot of people that are somewhat very self-conscious of being able going to a gym,
sure.
Especially if you're not feeling that well. And how do you try to help them feel more comfortable about it?
Okay, well, firstly, the atmosphere at Body Positive is very friendly. It's very relaxed. It's very laid back. We're not one of those gyms that are pumping you up, like getting down, making you do push-ups, counting them down. We're a relaxed atmosphere, friendly atmosphere. And I found the best way is to, ingrain success early on in the program. So if you can set small goals for a client when they first begin and they can see themselves achieving those goals within a week, 2 weeks, it may not be to lose so much weight. It may be just to increase a certain exercise by a few pounds. If a client can see that they're achieving goals, they're more likely to adhere to an exercise program and continue. And I find that does a lot for self-esteem too. And we get a lot of people that come through the program and their self-esteem has changed dramatically. Exercise can do wonders for self-confidence.
Well, and we're talking about Houston, which I think one of the magazines ranked as like the fattest city in the country. And we're also talking about a city where people drive across the street to go from one building to another. And the fact that the weather sometimes is not overly conducive to walking, or there aren't sidewalks, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I really like Houston a lot, but there are many obstacles of just trying to go out and take a walk sometimes. And you know, we don't necessarily have some of the best parks here. I mean, there are some really good parks in Houston, but they're far and few between.
Sure. It is hard and it is difficult. You know, and that's why a lot of people choose not to exercise. A lot of people may start exercising but find that it's not comfortable. It's hard to go down the street and go for a walk with the traffic, with the smog. So ideally, if you can get inside and exercise in air-conditioned environment, you may find it a little easier.
Right, and I guess they just sort of dropped that warning from the air quality with the fires from Mexico, the smog coming over. I guess it's gotten a little bit better today, which is really good. And the fact that we haven't had rain for a little while, so all that stuff is sort of still there in the air. But it's really good because it is a life change. I mean, to go out there and do some, you know, do some exercise, whether just taking a small walk, just really seems to make a difference.
Definitely. And that's what we're really all about. We're not looking for a quick fix. You know, there is no quick fix with health. What we're looking at is ingraining a successful plan for exercise and health change for lifestyle, for the rest of your life, basically. We want to teach people how to make informed exercise choices, teach people how to basically, you know, make healthy diets, decisions, healthy food choices, so that when they leave us, you know, 5 years down the track, if they stop exercising, you know, they know where to pick up. So we're basically trying to get people into a lifestyle change. It's not a quick fix.
Well, and with the drugs that have helped people live longer and live better, there's also a lot of side effects, and the diet and the exercise sort of helps counter those, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we have seen big changes in side effect management with medications. Certain problems are helped a lot with exercise, and you know, it can be simple as changing something in the diet. And that's what our dietitians are trained to do. They're trained to identify certain areas in your diet that may be causing side effect problems. So, you know, we do get a lot of clients that are having extreme problems, but it's just something little in their diet that's causing it. And our dietitians will identify that and help eliminate that from the diet.
We're talking to Sean Cashman, who was with the Body Positive Wellness Center, which is part of the Montrose Clinic, although you're not actually at the Montrose Clinic location. You are where?
We're on Richmond, 3311 Richmond. It's basically between Buffalo Speedway and Kirby.
Okay. And how does somebody get involved with it? How do you, just walk in the door? Do you have to make an appointment? And what are the charges?
Okay. Well, basically, you can just pop in, talk to the front desk, and we can set you up for an appointment, or, you know, to discuss any concerns or questions you have with either myself or with the director of the program or one of the dietitians. Or you can simply call our number over there, which is 713-830-3033. And basically what we are offering in our prices, we have a nutrition consult, which, as I said, will help identify certain areas in your diet that may need changing, assist with meal planning. The dietitians will also perform a BIA, which will measure...
Which is?
It's a bioelectrical impedance, which will measure muscle mass and fat mass, so you can get an indication of your lean body mass and how much actual fat mass you have on your body. And that is a $50 fee for a 60-minute consultation. We do follow those up with 30-minute consults at $25.
Okay. And the requirement of being able to walk in and getting any of these services?
Well, for these service packages, no requirements.
Okay.
It can be anyone. We're opening these up to the whole community.
Fabulous.
So anyone can just walk in off the street and just, you know, ask questions, get a leaflet, get some information, and go from there.
And your website is bodypositivehouston.org?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
And
no, it's not correct.
Sorry.
MontroseClinic.org. Okay. That's the best way to get information on this. Sean Cashman, thank you very much for joining us. And the phone number?
is...
Go ahead.
Can I just briefly mention,
sure.
We have two fitness packages that we're offering, and one is a personal training for 3 hours a week for 4 weeks. A certified trainer will help you assist and tailor an exercise program to your needs. That is $300, 3 hours a week for 4 weeks. Our wellness package, which I think by far is one of the best options that we've got, is $375. Now, that includes the 3 hours a week, 4 weeks personal training, and a nutrition initial assessment and a consult, plus two bonus 30-minute massages.
Okay. And the address and phone number?
The address is 3311 Richmond, Suite 100, and our phone number is 713-830-3033.
Sean, thank you very much for joining us this evening, and you're listening to Queer Voices.
Life's not worth a damn till you can say
I am what I am.
I am what I am.
I am what I am. Soy lo que soy.
I am what I am.
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 We are what we are. Listen to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, every late, late Saturday nights, 1 a.m. to Sunday, 4 a.m. only on KPFT Houston.
Ooh, I am what I am.
And you're listening to Queer Voices. Coming up at 10 o'clock, after the BBC News at 10 o'clock, the New Capital Show with Leo Gold. They're going to be interviewing Orlando Sanchez, one of the mayoral candidates. That's going to be a talk-in show, so get your questions ready, Jack.
Boy, I think I have a couple questions. But I'm sure we'll explore that before the mayoral race. And speaking of that, Sue Lovell is going to be running for a at-large position for city council this fall. And, of course, Anise Parker is going to be running for the controller position. And we'll be setting up interviews. Well, of course, we had Anise on recently, but we will try to get Sue on in the near future. And, of course, we have a lot of things coming up with the film festival. And we just recently talked about the Texas Triangle Profiles in Pride, which is happening on Thursday evenings at 7:30 in not only Houston, but Austin, Dallas, and Fort Worth, which is really, really neat. And, of course, we have the Houston Film Festival that's coming up. And next week we're going to have Ernie on from Channel 8, who is one of the co-chairs of the film festival.
Oh, and Ernie's so much fun. I look forward to talking to him every year.
Well, and he also, of course, is one of the co-announcers at Pride Parade.
That's right.
Along with Maria Todd from KRBE. So we have that stuff coming up, and, of course, we'll be covering a lot of the Pride events. There's going to be 25 days of Pride events, and some nights there's going to be more than one thing going on. So that's incredible. The other thing I understand, and I don't know all this stuff even though I'm on the committee, that the kickoff party is going to be at the Chase Lobby downtown, the J.P. Morgan
so much fun.
Chase Bank, which is really neat. Free food and probably some refreshments and stuff like that. So there's a lot of stuff going on. Was it this past weekend, or was it the weekend before that was Splash? It was the weekend before.
Right. This past weekend was the Art Car Parade,
which I missed. First time in like 4 or 5 years. And I understand it was really neat.
I know heard it was wonderful.
KPFT had an entry in the in this year's, they've had it every year. But it's just such a fun thing. People
it
have
is.
Such a good time.
And our entry had a radio tower on it, so it was very cool.
Yes. and that I understand that entry will also be in the Pride Parade.
Oh, great.
So what books are you reading these days?
Well, this one is called Southwest Shuffle, Pioneers of Honky Tonk, Western Swing, and Country Jazz, which I'm just kind of checking out. I just read one called Flashbacks, which was about somebody who was a reporter for Newsweek on the rock and roll beat from 1964 to 1974. And that was very, very interesting because he got to talk to people like the Beatles and Jimi Hendrix and the Stones when they were just starting out before they had really hit the big time.
Joni Mitchell?
No, Joni Mitchell, sorry. Janis Joplin, though.
Oh,
Janis Joplin,
yes.
And Aretha Franklin. And this one is called Gay Witchcraft, Empowering the Tribe, and it is by Christopher Penzack, and he is an actual Wiccan shaman in Salem, Massachusetts, of all places, one of my actual favorite place in the whole world. So he will probably be on the show here within the next couple of weeks as soon as I finish the book.
Great. And coming up in July and August on the non-Q Musical Heritage Weeks, we're going to be running a special that comes from Public Radio International, which is sort of a one-on-one account of people coming out and about people within the community. This is something that's not produced locally. It's a national type of thing. And we're lucky enough to be able to get free of charge for us because we are a Public Radio International member. So that's coming up. We have a lot of things coming up. Of course, fundraising is going to be happening at the end of June and early July.
Just in time for Pride.
Yes. Well, we're going to have a busy next couple months here on KPFT. And we're also, well, actually, I'm not. Troy Christensen is working on a documentary, which there's going to be a radio element of that, of the past, the Grand Marshals of the past 25 years. And we hope to be able to schedule that during the Open Journal time, sometime in June, early June probably, so that people who are not normally listening at this hour at night will be able to get to listen to that. And there's some incredible historical items in that documentary.
I have no doubt. It has been just amazing how many of the previous 25 years worth of Grand Marshals have come back and have been so interested in taking part. And, you know, what Troy was telling us the other day was a lot of these people thought it was, you know, it was a fun thing I did back in the 80s, and they didn't really understand the significance of it at the time.
You are listening to KPFT Houston at 90.1 with 28,000 watts. You're listening to K208DG in Galveston. And up now is the BBC News from London.
BBC News with Sue Montgomery. There have been several explosions in Saudi Arabia at compounds housing foreign workers. Diplomatic sources say bombs went off at three separate locations in the capital, Riyadh. In one, a car packed with explosives crashed into an exclusive compound in the east of the city. A resident of the compound, John, described what happened.
About 11:30 in the evening, I was just thinking about going to bed, and I heard this sound like firecrackers. And then immediately I thought, that's not firecrackers. That sounds more like machine, you know, some kind of gunfire. So I got up to try go and investigate. I was going to go to my bedroom window, and just about 10 seconds after the gunfire started, there was this massive blast.
Residents at one of the compounds targeted say at least three people have been killed. A BBC correspondent says the injured have been taken to five hospitals in the city, with one reporting that it is treating some 50 wounded people. Last week, Saudi police seized a large cache of weapons and explosives in the city as they searched for suspected militants. The blast came just hours before the expected arrival in Riyadh of the American Secretary of State, Colin Powell, on the latest leg of a Middle East tour. Mr. Powell is currently in Jordan, where he's expected to face demands to help improve the conditions of Palestinians when he meets government officials later. The Jordanian Foreign Minister, Marwan Muasher, has already said he wants to see immediate measures to change what he called the catastrophic and dangerous situation facing Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. The British Prime Minister Tony Blair has suffered a scathing attack on his management style from a senior Labour figure, Claire Short. Ms. Short, explaining to Parliament why she had resigned earlier in the day as International Development Secretary, accused Mr. Blair of becoming increasingly obsessed with his place in history. Ms. Short stepped down over British involvement in post-conflict Iraq. Here's John Devitt.
Claire Short has finally resigned in a blaze of recrimination. In a brief resignation letter, she accused Mr. Blair of misleading her over the reconstruction of Iraq, claiming that the Prime Minister had told her there would be a UN mandate